Mr. Sacco, real size. You were describing that dreadful accident and said you were on the burial party. That would be a kind of a regimental type, a regimental duty.
Yeah, the colonel was there, and he read this. They shall not grow old as we were left grow old, all that.
And as a member of the burial party, what was your task? Or what the party's task?
Well, they were wrapped in blankets, of course, and they had to get the ropes around the bottoms of the blankets. And I remember some French people, it was a civilian cemetery where they were buried, you see. I don't know whether they were removed later. And these French women were crying, seeing all the blood on the ropes, the blood was coming up the ropes and then rolling into the three graves.
It'd been a very emotional moment.
It was, yeah.
How was the company or battalion, were they lined up for
this? No, there was only, I think there was four signals on the burial party, them being signals, and the colonel. I think it was just about the five of us there.
No padre.
Quite honestly, I think there was a French padre. Yeah. Or it could have been Father Fury. That was our padre. Bravest man I ever knew. The most handsome fellow.
Well, we can talk about him. Was he a Roman Catholic? And you say he was brave. What was he like?
He was Irish. He was the padre for the. Actually, for the brigade, that was the Sherwood Foresters, the Leicesters, and the Durham Light Infantry. And he was a really handsome man, and he'd go up in the front line and give say prayers for the badly wounded and things like that, against all orders. He was told not to go near the front line, and he would go there and attend to everybody's needs, He'd come out covered in blood himself, He was a brilliant man. And the most handsome fellow you've ever seen in your life. His name was spelled, he was called Fury, it was F-U-R-I-E. And he had the rank of Captain Fury. And he's one of the most brilliant padres I've ever known, him.
Yeah. And this presumably be anybody, irrespective of their faith.
Oh, yes.
Did they have a profound effect upon battalions and troops and padres?
Oh, everybody. I say everybody loved him, He was so brave. I remember him at Salerno.
Colonel Preston, you just basically met for the first time.
Yes.
What was he like?
Oh, we liked him very much.
What good points did he have that caused you to like him?
Well, he seemed to know what the Germans were going to do. He was a strategist. He had it all, I thought, Colonel Preston. I thought he was a brilliant colonel.
Strict man, was he? Disciplinary wise?
Well, odd times, I think, but I can't never remember being strict with me or anything,
Major Worrell, as he was after the war, you said he had command of the battalion for a day. What was he like?
He was a bit blunt, I remember the first day I joined the battalion, when I actually went up the front line, I had to go and report there, and he was like, "Who are you?" "Who are you?" And this was not long after Sedgemoor, as I say, he was in command. Don't like him, but he was on, in the end.
And I think you said Major Duffy was your company commander.
Company commander, yes.
How did you find him?
He was quite a good company commander. He was all his company liked him and everything, But that was the only time I was with him after that first attack. I went with A Company.
Who was commanding A Company?
A Company, A Company.
It was Vizard, wasn't it? And then there was a fellow called Major Ballard. Did he call him?
Balance, wasn't it?
Balance.
Yeah.
But he wasn't A Company commander.
No. I remember the company sergeant, Major Besnick, the most brilliant man in the battalion.
Who was that?
CSM Wilson.
Brilliant in what way?
Oh, everything, bravery. And he's about that high, weighed about 6 stone.
About 5 foot, just over 5 foot.
Yeah. When I saw him, the first day I ever saw him, he was marching this platoon, men, you know. I don't know whether he joined us in Italy. And he looked like a little ghost. His face was white, you know. And he was and I remember saying to Danny Jordan, like, what a little horror. You know, I said, and we were going up to be told what companies were going in for this attack. This is the first time I'd ever seen CSM Wilson.
And was this Italy, did you say?
Italy, yeah. Sorry.
Whilst we're still in Africa, who were your fellow signallers that were with you?
In Africa. Thompson and Gaffney. Those three of us, yeah. Thompson was the one that got wounded.
And were you close friends?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Who was the signals officer? I know he would be...
Captain Harris.
And he would be commanding, in effect, all of the signals.
That's right, yeah.
What was he like?
Oh, he was very good, yeah. Very friendly, you know. We're all one big family, the signals. You know.
You saw him quite often, did you?
And, oh, yes, and Sergeant Thompson. He was the sergeant. And Corporal... Reynolds.
And were they good?
Oh, yes, they were all pretty good, yes.
Was there anyone amongst the signalers that you recall who wasn't doing a particularly good job, wasn't shaping up very well?
No, I think they're all pretty good. I think if they didn't shape up very well, they got weeded out.
And you were using wirelesses, you weren't on the field telephones.
No, wirelesses, yeah. We used to be like pack mules, you know, telephone, radio, spare batteries, rolls of line. Yeah.
Did you come into contact with any of the Americans at this time?
Not in Africa, no.
But you'd had, obviously, seen the Moroccans there.
Oh, the Moroccans, yeah.
In action, at least the results of that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did you get close to them to actually see them as...
No.
So after the dreadful accident you're talking about, what happened to you then? Did you get involved in any triumphal marches through Tunis, or at the end of the Tunisian campaign?
I remember marching through Algiers.
Was that at the end of the campaign?
No, at the beginning, when I first got there. Yes. But I can't remember.
I think some units did, but that doesn't necessarily mean that yours was.
I can't quite remember whether we were or not.
Had you seen actually any Germans prisoners up to this point?
Had we seen?
I'd actually seen German prisoners of war, you know, taken in the campaign.
Oh yes, we'd taken prisoners in various patrols and things like that.
How did you find them?
Oh well, found them all right, you know.
Were they pleased to be out of it, or arrogant in any way?
No. More so when we were in Italy, I got a better view of them because we saw loads. Because we used to. In in Italy it was a different way. You're not talking about Italy yet.
Yes, but we'll come to it, yeah. Of course. What happened to you next?
As I say, we went back to Algiers and we were there for quite a long time. A place called Bleda, just out of Algiers. We just go down to Algiers.
Were you training there?
Yeah, we'll go on maneuvers up into the mountains and things like that, you know, using the signals we were using, all our equipment up there. And well, I went with lots of schemes.
None of them based on landing from the sea?
That was done up in Bizerta prior to Italy, you know.
That was after you'd been in this particular spot?
Yes, we went right up to Bizerta. That's where we were.
When you're out of the line in a safe place, as this obviously was, but the campaign was over anyway, does it take you a long time to get to settle, to, you know, rid yourselves of the fears and the stresses of action? Are you able to relax quickly?
Oh, yes. I think we used to relax immediately, you know, once we were out. Unless it was just for about 2 or 3 days, you know, then you'd be pondering about it. You know. But if you're out for about a week or a fortnight or something like that. Yeah. And then, as I say, at the end of the African campaign, we were all quite happy, like, not worrying about anything, you know. We were actually becoming blooded to it, you know.
It must reach a point where, whilst it's unpleasant and unfortunate to see your friends killed or whatever, you come to accept that rather quickly.
Oh, yes.
Does that help to keep you going?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was there ever any thought in yourself or others whom you may have spoke to that, that this might be one where you might be killed?
Oh, well, I used to think about it in everyone, actually, you know. That was always the back of my mind. But I didn't used to ponder on it, you know.
Some people used to get a premonition that this
one has. Mm-hmm. As I say, that was one of my big prides, that I wasn't as frightened as most, you know. And that was it, you know. And I used to feel good about it. Yeah.
When you finished your training at this place near Algiers, what happened to you then? Did you know that you were going to go into action in Italy? Were you sailing for Italy? Or?
Well, we weren't sure where we were going. You know.
You didn't know at all when they were...
Everybody's having a bit of a guess, you know.
What was the commonest rumour?
Well, that was coming up, Italy, you know, kept coming up. And...
As the Sicily campaign would have just about finished by now.
That's right, yeah.
So what happened to you and... When you left this training area in near Algiers itself, you went to Bizerta, I think you said.
Went to Bizerta, yeah.
And you were further training there, was it?
I was training for the invasion there. You just have to take all your clothes off and go into the sea, then come charging forward. Oh, that's right. We went out to sea on some kind of small ship, and then we went over the side, and where it was like where you couldn't drown really, you know. And then make the raid on Bizerta. We did that quite a few times. But we dug in at Bizerta as well, because I think the Germans suspected something. And they were coming over and they were dropping bombs.
We'd been bombed there.
We weren't actually being bombed. The port was being bombed, you know. Is there any ships there, you know?
Were you practicing on the proper infantry landing craft?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, those are the smaller ones with the ramps, or the larger ones that have the gangways coming down.
The gangways coming down. That's right, yeah. LCIs. Yeah.
Those are the large ones that you were on.
Yeah. We were on those. Oh, do you know when I was talking earlier? ship when we went out. When I thought about it, I said, that's impossible. You know, must be about 1,000 or something like that, you know.
But, you say that you were taken out to sea, then came in and you made an assault on the beach.
That's right, yeah.
And did that include wet landings, where you actually had to come out into the water when it was waist deep? Or
oh, yeah, no, it was,
it was
real wet.
But you right up onto the dry beach?
No, it was wet. Come through the water.
And presumably you were carrying, again, all your particular gear.
I don't know if we had any gear. I can't remember carrying any gear. I think they were, when I had thoughts when we'd be doing this, when we do it properly, we'll have the gear, you know.
So just basically practicing the...
Yeah, the coming out.
In and getting off again. Mm-hmm. How long did that continue?
Maybe for about 4 weeks. And we didn't go anywhere because deserted it. The Americans had bombed that so badly, you know, that practically everything was shook there, you know, in Deserta. It was really wrecked, that town.
And your training, was that brigade training, the full brigade? Were they
no, but companies and battalions.
Just battalion and company training.
Uh-huh.
What happened to you after that, when that training was completed?
Well, we were just. What was it? We were just, I'm trying to think if we were in tents or what we. I still remember when we arrived in Deserta late at night. When we moved in there, the way we were going to put our tents and things up, the ground was heaving. We couldn't understand what it was. It was the Blacklocks. Yeah, no, absolutely shining all over. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
And you have to pitch your tent in amongst them.
Yeah. In the end, I slept on everybody's kid bags came off and different stuff. But I remember sleeping on top of one of them because everywhere you just put.
And was this the final station before you moved on to your ship?
Before we moved on and went on the invasion.
And they hadn't told you at this point even where you
were? No, we're all guessing, you know. And Captain Harris, he guessed right, the signals officer. He said, I'm pretty sure we're going to Italy. So yeah, I remember saying to me, your parents will be telling what part of Italy they come from. I said, oh, sir, I said, you've never heard about it. It's a little place called Cassino. You often just kid me up about that later. He said, never hear this. I said, it's just a little place called Cassino.
What was the mood of the battalion? Obviously, some of you have been blooded, most of you have been blooded. Others would still be suffering from Sedgenane and what followed. Were they up for this invasion? Were they looking forward to? Were they keen?
Well, actually the morale was quite high. You know, it was really. We're still trying to guess where we were going. You know. But I think we didn't know exactly what part we were going to land on, but we all kind of guessed we were going to Italy. You know.
Do you recall the actual move onto the ships in the harbour?
Oh, yeah. And we were like pack mules again, you know. And I had 6 batteries this time, plus the other gear. And they were American invasion craft. And as we were going up, there was about that gap between the ship and the sea, you know,
about
two foot. And I says, the hell with this, will man never need these batteries. And I said, look at you, and just plonked the 3 of them into the 3 and we're like, you know, and Carl Reynolds spotted it like, he says, right, you'll be reported. I said, please yourself. I says, I'd like to sleep and pack you away. I so I can't carry more than this.
The ship itself, was it a large one? Did you carry the whole battalion?
It would actually be very big to carry a full battalion, wouldn't it?
I mean, was the whole battalion with you? Did you go in onto the ship as a battalion?
I think we did, yes. What they did was some young ones who just dropped, who would join the battalion and had deserted, and we left them behind, the very young ones, 18-year-olds, and left all the young ones behind, like, you know. They come at the signal section.
They eventually caught you up at some point in time, did they?
Oh, yeah.
But not then.
One was very sad. What was his name? I used to joke on with him. He was the youngest of the lot. And we got quite a lot of casualties at Salerno, you know, and so they had to bring them over. He came over and he was picked up on the. He was given a lift by the water van, you know, the carries their water where you get your water out of.
Yeah, the water can.
And he was sitting in there with the driver, and there was a shell dropped right beside them and dropped right beside and took the water cart over, and his helmet went back. And the poor kid was strangled with his own. Because I've forgotten what his name was, because when I heard these young ones, I said, "Where's so and so?" They told us, poor kid, you know. He'd gone back, and they jammed. They just strangled him there in the. Because the shelling was really intense.
What day did you leave Bizerta, do you recall? What date was Salerno? Did you recall Salerno's date?
I'm just trying to wonder where it would be September. September the 3rd rings a bell with me.
How long was the journey from Bizerta to Salerno?
I think it was about 3 days, but our whole ship, you know, the Mediterranean, always being known as calm and everything, and it was real fierce, and these small ships, and practically everybody on board was, I'd never been seasick in my life, and I was laughing at the difference, because I used to know the ones who were going to be seasick as soon as they stepped on the ship, and I was laughing at them, you know, and then I remember this day, I was just queuing, Americans were serving us with the food, you know, and I was queuing for that, and I just had a rush, and I was sick. And we were so sick, they sent an urgent signal that they're going to land us at Sicily on a deserted part of the coast and sleep a night there. And there'd be American cooks waiting for us and feed us and sleep the night there and then get on back on the boats, which we did. And it worked like a charm.
So you put up in Sicily for one night?
One night. And whenever it was a real deserted place, you know. On the beach, and the Americans were waiting there with the food. And we walked around looking to talk to somebody, and they never saw us all. Then we got on this, we got back in these amphibious ducks and got back onto the ships. And from then onwards, it was as calm as a, like the Mediterranean was known to be. You know. It was a wise move.
Other than trying to cope with seasickness, what were you doing on the boat on all those 3 days?
Well, everybody seemed to be quiet. There was not a great lot to do. Just sit and chat, and where we were going, talking about where we're writing letters, and there was nothing much to do at all on the boat.
You were able to write letters.
Oh yeah, I don't know when they would get posted, but we wrote them.
And it's a it's obviously censored at this
Oh, yes.
Keeping and testing your equipment, keeping it clean, was that part of
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, they did have the odd kit inspection. Yeah. I think that was just the keeper's warning, you know.
Well, had they told you by now where you were going?
No, no.
Still didn't know it.
No.
And they weren't giving you any talks. Obviously, if you did, hadn't told you where you were going, they wouldn't be giving you lectures on what to do when you get there, presumably. They weren't talking to you and giving you some ideas to what to expect and what was expected of you.
Well, I think we were told, because that's right, we were told the Hampshires would be going in first. That's right, so we must have been told. They'd be going in about 6 o'clock in the morning, then we'd follow them on.
But they didn't. They weren't telling you what to expect at all. You hadn't worked with models prior to the actual invasion point itself, from the coastline and features. And
no, well, all we did was coming out of the boats and running ashore. You know, that was all.
Well, you go back onto the boats after your overnight stay in Sicily, and then you sail for Salerno.
That's right.
What do you recall was your first vision of the landing area, the Salerno area, as you approached it and came into it?
Well, first of all, we were looking out at the scenery. It wasn't Salerno, it was like other parts of it. And I can remember one American officer, ship's officer, I think he was actually the boss of the whole ship. He said he'd love to go up that mountain there, what point there. He was chatting to me, felt highly honoured, chatting to me about how he'd love to go up this mountain, up this side, But apart from that, nothing. We knew we were going to land.